Translation: The most famous and formidable transcendental literature is the book named Gopalachampu. In this book, the eternal pastimes of the Lord are established, and the transcendental mellows enjoyed in Vrindavan are completely described. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following information about the Gopalachampu. The Gopalachampu is divided into two parts. The first part is called the Eastern Wave, and the second part is called the Northern Wave. In the first part, there are 33 supplications, and in the second part, 37 supplications. In the first part, completed in 1510 Shakabda, the following subject matters are discussed. So this is a list of the subject matter discussed in Gopalachampu, the book which Krishna's Kaviraj is mentioning here. And this also gives the overview of the book. So please listen. First one, Vrindavan and Golok. Second, the killing of the Putna demon. The gopis returning home under the instructions of Mother Yashoda. The bathing of Lord Krishna and Balaram. Snigdha Kantha and Madhu Kantha. Three, the dream of Mother Yashoda. The Janmashtami ceremony. The meeting between Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. And the killing of the Putna demon. Six, the pastimes of awakening from bed, the deliverance of the demon Shakat, and the name-giving ceremony. Seven, the killing of the Trinavat demon, Lord Krishna's eating dirt, Lord Krishna's childish naughtiness, and Lord Krishna as a thief. Eight, churning of the yogurt, Krishna's drinking from the breast of Mother Yashoda, the breaking of the yogurt pot, Krishna bound with the ropes, the deliverance of the two brothers, Yamalarjun, and lamentation of Mother Yashoda. 9. Entering Sri Vrindavan. 10. The killing of Vatsasur, Bakasur, and Vyomasur. 11. The killing of Aghasur and the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. 12. The tending of the cows in the forest. 13. Taking care of the cows and chastising the Kaliyat serpent. 14. The killing of Gardhabasur, the ash demon, and the praise of Krishna. It's a long list, so we'll carry on. 15. The previous attraction of the gopis. 16. The killing of Pralambasur and the eating of the forest fire. 17. The gopis attempt to approach Krishna. 18. The lifting of Govardhan hill. 19. Bathing Krishna with milk. 20. The return of Nanda Maharaj from the custody of Varun and the vision of Golok Vrindavan by the gopis. The performance of the rituals in Katayana Vrat and the worship of the goddess Durga. 22. The begging of food from the wives of the Brahmanas, performing sacrifices. 23. The meeting of Krishna and the gopis. 24. Krishna's enjoying the company of the gopis, the disappearance of Radha and Krishna from the scene, and the search for them by the gopis. 25. The reappearance of Krishna. 26. The determination of the gopis. 27. Pastimes in the waters of the Yamuna. 28. The deliverance of Nanda Maharaj from the clutches of the serpent. 29. Various pastimes in solitary places. 30. The killing of Shankachur and the Hori. 31. The killing of Arishtashur. 32. The killing of the Keshi demon. 33. The appearance of Srinarad Muni and a description of the year in which the book was completed. So this completes the first Purva Champu. The book has been divided into two champus. And later on we will discuss what champu means. Now second champu also has number of chapters, 37 chapters. So 33 plus 37 makes 70. Yeah? So 70 chapters are there. In the second part, known as Uttar Champu. So like Purva Champu, Uttar Champu. The following subject matters are discussed. First, attraction for Brajbhumi. Second, the cruel activities of Akrura. Third, Krishna's departure for Mathura. Four, a description of the city of Mathura. Five, killing of Kamsa. Six, Nand Maharaj's separation from Krishna and Balaram. Seven, Nand Maharaj's entrance into Vrindavan without Krishna and Balaram. Eight, the studies of Krishna and Balaram. Nine, how the son of the teacher of Krishna and Balaram was returned. 10, Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan. 11, Radharani is talking with the messenger Bumblebee. 12, the return of Uddhava from Vrindavan. 13, the binding of Jarasandh. 14, the killing of the Yavan Jarasandh. 15, the marriage of Balaram. 16, the marriage of Rukmini. 17, seven marriages. 18, the killing of Narkasur, the taking of the Parijat flower from heaven, and Krishna's marriage to 16,000 princesses. 19, victory over Banasur. 20, a description of Balaram's return to Braj. 21, the killing of Pandrak, the imitation Vishnu. 22, the killing of Duvit and thoughts of Hastinapur. 23, departure for Kurukshetra. 24, how the residents of Vrindavan and Dwarka met at Kurukshetra. 25, Krishna's consultation with Uddhava. 26, the deliverance of the king. 27, the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. 28, the killing of Shalva. 29, Krishna's considering returning to Vrindavan. 30, Krishna's revisiting Vrindavan. 31, the adjustment of obstructions by Srimati Radharani and others. 32, everything completed. 33, the residence of Radha and Madhav. 34, decorating Srimati Radharani and Krishna. 35, the marriage ceremony of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. 36, the meeting of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And 37, entering Goloka Vrindavan. So that completes the list which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given. Vimajnanitimrandhasya jnananjanshalakaya chakshurmilitamena tasma shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitamena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri utpadkamlam shri gurun vaishnavansha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijan sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitansha he krishna karuna sindhu din bandhu jagatpate gopesh gopika kanto radha kanto namo stuti Tapti Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalputaru Bhayasya कृपा सिंधु भे विचा पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखम करोति वाचालम पंगम लंघयति गिरिम यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। अनर्पित चरम चिरात करुणा तीर्णा खलो समर्पयितम् उन्नतोज्ज्वल साम्य भक्तिश्रियम्। हरिपुरट सुंदर द्युति कदम संदीपिता सदा हृदय कंदरे स्मृतु वासची नंदना। So I'll read the verse in translation again, then we move on to a brief discussion. Gopal Champu Name Granth Mahashur Nittilila Sthapanyahe Brajirasapur. The most famous and formidable transcendental literature is the book named Gopal Champu. In this book, the eternal pastimes of the Lord are established, and the transcendental mellows enjoyed in Vrindavan are completely described. So just to put a brief context to what is happening here, this chapter, very first chapter of Madhya Leela, is very important, because three of our verses which are chanted in all ceremonies in Mangalacharan are taken from this chapter. Particularly, the glorification of three principal deities of Vrindavan. Three principal deities of Vrindavan are Sri Sri Madan Mohan, Sri Sri Govindevji, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindadev, and Radha Gopinath. They have been glorified in the very beginning of this chapter. Jaitam Surtur Pangor Mamamandi Matarigati Yat Sarvasya Padam Bhojo Radha Madan Mohanam. So this is the glorification of Sri Radha Madan Mohan by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Then Divya Dvindaran Kalpadrumada Singhasanastu Sri Sri Radha Govind Devo Prishtalivi Sebamanu Smarami. So glorification of Sri Radha Govind Devo. Then Radha Gopinath. Shima Rasa Rasa Rambhi Vansi Vattatastita Karshan Venuswanar Gopi Gopinatha Shriyastuna. So in three principal deities have been glorified in this chapter. And before that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also says that anyone who wants to progress in devotional service, remove his obstacles, must remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanandi ki jaya. Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki jaya. So these principal deities are there for the protection of devotees. Just like Mahaprabhu has divided this vast Vedic philosophy into three, and that is known as Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. So Sambandha is the relationship with Krishna. And that relationship is awakened by worshipping Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Then Abhideya. Abhideya is the process, the methodology, the method of worship. And that is awakened by worshipping Sri Sri Radha Govindadev. Then, ultimately Prayojan, the ultimate goal of life, is achieved by worshipping Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So these three principal deities, they represent Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. And three acharyas, Sambandha Acharya is Sanatana Goswami, Prayojan Acharya, then Abhideya Acharya is Rupa Goswami, and Prayojana Acharya, Raghunath Dasi Goswami. So this is how rich our sampradaya is. Now, last week you heard a beautiful description of Srila Jiva Goswami. So in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami indicates that he is only describing Krishna's pastime, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, very briefly. He also establishes that actual Vyas of Chaitanya Leela is not me. Me means Krishnadas Kaviraj. He said actual Vyas of Chaitanya Leela is Vrindavan Das Thakur. He is the Vyas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj very humbly says that I am only describing the pastime which he has not described in detail. Otherwise in Chaitanya Bhagavat, also known as Chaitanya Mangal, Mahaprabhu's pastimes have been described very vividly. So this establishes how Krishnadas Kaviraj has described Mahaprabhu's pastime briefly, but also elaborated in the pastime which are not found in Chaitanya Bhagavat in detail. Then he glorifies Sanatana Goswami and the literature that he has left, particularly his four books. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita is one of the great books that he left, and the complete methodology how to worship Krishna in this sampradaya is also written by him with the help of Gopal Bhatti Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas. So particularly Brihad Bhagavatamrita, a voluminous book, establishes bhakti, bhakt, Bhagavan. Prabhupada said about Brihad Bhagavatamrita that anyone who wants to know bhakti, devotional service, bhakt, the devotees, and Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he must read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Fortunately, Gopi Paranthar Prabhu has translated and commented on this book, so it is available from BBT. So such great literature has been written. Many years back, a devotee was reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita in Vrindavan. I asked him, what's your experience? She said, I can't believe it cannot be an ordinary person writing this book. Because as soon as you enter into this book, it takes you beyond this material realm. It's amazing. So that was his experience, and it is amazing. Because when you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you also learn how Narad Muni is trying to find out the person who has received Krishna's mercy the most. The running theme of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Krishnasya Daitovasi. Who is Krishna's most favorite devotee? Who is the recipient of Krishna's mercy the most? Okay, I don't want to spend much time because we need to discuss the book today, Gopala Champu. Then Rupa Goswami. About Rupa Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that the book he has written, I can't count. In Vrindavan, once we were going with Dinbandhu Prabhu for Parikrama, so he took us to a place which is known as Granth Samadhi near Madan Mohan Temple. And he said that with the consent of Goswamis, hundreds of literature, hundreds of books were put in Samadhi. Because they thought that in Kali Yuga, it will be impossible for people to read or understand these books. So many books were put in Samadhi, Granth Samadhi. But whatever is available is also so vast that we can spend lifetimes to read them and we can't finish. So this is what he says about Rupa Goswami. Then, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is known as the greatest philosopher. Prabhupada says that Vaishnavas are the great philosophers. So all of you sitting here are great philosophers. Anyone who joins this movement is a great philosopher. Because the very first premise of this movement is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is very difficult to understand, even for the great philosophers. Atri Muni could not understand it in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he did not know who is Supreme, so then he called all three, Trimurtis. He called Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and they came and gave him benediction. He was performing austerities to beget a son, but he didn't know who is the Supreme. So he called all three. So they all three blessed him. So he got three sons. Lord Dattatreya from Vishnu. So the moon god from Lord Brahma. And Durvasamani from Shankara, Mahadeva. So can you estimate how difficult it is to understand Krishna, even for great rishis? But in this movement, a young child who is born or who comes learns from day one, or anyone who joins learns from day one, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vaishnavas are great philosophers, but amongst all the Vaishnavas, past, present and future, Srila Jiva Goswami is the greatest. Because the philosophy he has left behind is unrefutable. After hundreds of years, 400 years almost, of his leaving this planet, nobody has dared to refute the philosophy he left in Shatsandarvas. So last week you heard about Shatsandarvas, six Sandarvas. So I won't go in detail. So Jiva Goswami is known as the greatest philosopher. Srila Prabhupada says that Mahaprabhu's philosophy is super philosophy. Everybody likes super things, isn't it? So we got super philosophy. Why? Because this super philosophy comes by extracting the philosophies of all the four sampradayas. That's why it's super philosophy. Achinta Bheda Bhed. Mahaprabhu gave this philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference. Then nobody can fight. So that's why it's unrefutable. This principle is unrefutable. Nobody can fight. Because Mahaprabhu says that there's simultaneous oneness and difference between Jiva and Bhagavan. Now, Jiva Goswami, he wrote 400,000 verses, which is like writing 4 Mahabharata. It's just amazing the kind of literature he left. 400,000 verses. So 4 Mahabharata. One Mahabharata has 100,000 verses. It takes years of time to read it. He wrote 400,000 verses. Once Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was speaking in Vrindavan, and he was talking about his experience of Prabhupada. So he said, the best of Prabhupada is in his books. And this is coming from a personality who has served Prabhupada so closely, so intimately. But he said the best of Prabhupada is in his books. But then he also went on to elaborate that the kind of literature Prabhupada has left and the kind of speed he produced that literature is just unbelievable. 11 years, or maybe 12 years, just some 12 years, and voluminous books. And the quality of those books is astonishing. This word is important, astonishing, because this will come when we explain Champu. So it's just astonishing. And Jiva Goswami, as the greatest philosopher, he not only gave us Shatsandarvas, which are unrefutable treatises, the philosophical deliberations, but he also gave us Gopala Champu. And Krishna's Kaviraj is describing this Gopala Champu as Mahashur. Shur means the brave, literally. So Mahashur, he means this is the bravest literature, again, that nobody can refute. And the philosophy contained in this book is inconceivable. That's all we can describe, inconceivable. So when I was reading the list which has been given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you may be thinking, what? These are the same pastimes we read in Krishna books. Maybe some pastimes are different. The same pastimes. But the way he has described these pastimes is inconceivable. It's just unbelievable. Why? Because the ultimate limit of grammar, kavya, and natak, and all the limbs of literary, highest grade of literary work is found in this literature. Ultimate limit. So that's why this is called Mahashur. This great literature is Mahashur. About Mahabharata, there is a saying that what is not found in Mahabharata cannot be found anywhere. That's the saying about Mahabharata. So, same thing applies here. That what is not found in Gopala Champu about Krishna cannot be found anywhere. That's the quality of this literature. So, in next 10 minutes or so, let me take you through first the definition of Champu. What is Champu? Now, establishing the author, first of all, Jiva Goswami, you heard about him last week. But just to mention, how great was his authority. That he was appointed the editor of the books of his uncles, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Now, Rupa Goswami considered Sanatan Goswami as his spiritual master. Rupa Goswami himself was the greatest literary. So, they appointed him as the editor of their books. That was one of his service, to edit their books. And he was so expert that last week you heard he will collect the palm leaves. He was so expert that he will write in one palm leaf and put it to dry. Then he will write in another palm leaves the portion which is going to be coming after writing on the second page of that palm leaf. So palm leaf would have two sides. So he will write on the front side, put it to dry, and then he will write the portion which will come after the second side of that palm leaf already here. And then he will take that palm leaf which has been dried now and write on that. So he has already written what is coming after the second side. And when he will write, all the words will fit nicely, exactly. So expert was. His intellect was just unbelievable, inconceivable. He defeated Ballabh Bhatta in argument. And Ballabh Bhatta came and reported this to Rupa Goswami. He said, "Who is this boy?" That time he was only 20 years old. So Rupa Goswami said, "Oh, he's just my nephew and just helping here." And then Ballabh Bhatta said that this boy is the greatest philosopher I might have seen, the greatest scholar I might have ever met in my life. And then he related the incident, what happened. So Rupa Goswami then banished Jiva Goswami. He said, "Ballabh Bhatta was just trying to help me. It so happened that Ballabh Bhatta came and Rupa Goswami was writing a book." So he said, "What are you writing?" He said, "I'm writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu." So Ballabh Bhatta, out of arrogance, said, "Okay, when you finish it, give it to me, and then I'll tell you if there are any mistakes." And Rupa Goswami, out of humility, said, "Yes, Sripad, I'll do this." Jiva Goswami could not bear this. He said, "What? How dare you speak to my spiritual master like this?" So then he went and defeated him. So Rupa Goswami banished Jiva Goswami. He said, "You have taken this renounce order prematurely. Get out of here." And then he also told him where to go. He said, "Go to the eastern side of Vrindavan." So Jiva Goswami went there, and some sources say that he was living in the cave of a crocodile. But the villagers say that he was living on the banks of Yamuna. I went to that village. So it is during that time that he wrote Satsandarbhas. Unbelievable. The greatest of literature came at the time when he was banished, and he was repenting for the offense, so-called offense he might have done. So at that time he was writing Satsandarbhas. So one day Sanatan Goswami came and he said, "Roop, I thought you knew Mahaprabhu's teachings. What is our master's teaching?" So Roop Goswami said, "Our master's teachings are simple. And those teachings are Name Ruchi, Jivedaya, Vaishnavar Sevan. Three teachings. These are the sum and substance of Mahaprabhu's teachings. Name Ruchi, Jivedaya, and Vaishnavar Sevan. Attachment to the holy name. Then, compassion to fallen conditioned souls and serving the Vaishnavas." So then Sanatana Goswami said, "But why is it that you're not following Mahaprabhu's teachings?" So because Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami as his guru, he said, "Please guide me. Where am I not following Mahaprabhu's teachings?" He said, "You just said Mahaprabhu's teaching is Jivadaya. Why is it that one jiva is bereft of your mercy?" Then he understood, yes. So immediately he called Jiva Goswami. And some sources say that actually at that time he was eating mud, Vrindavan, bridge mud, because he was so repentant. So his stomach was bloated. He was very sick. So then they gave him medicine, cured him. And then Rupa Goswami became the Acharya once Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami left. So this was the greatness of the author of Gopala Champu. He became the greatest Acharya ever. One more thing I want to quote here. That last week you heard about Madhusudan Vachaspati. Mahaprabhu taught Sarvam Bhattacharya the secrets of Vedanta. After hearing Vedanta from him, for 7 days, Mahaprabhu taught him what is real Vedanta. Sarvam Bhattacharya, in return, taught the secrets of Vedanta philosophy to his disciple, Madhusudan Vachaspati. Madhusudan Vachaspati settled in Varanasi. So Jiva Goswami, having received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and his order in Navadvip, then went to Madhusudan Vachaspati and learn the secrets of Vedanta from Madhusudana Vachaspati. So he knew the secrets of Vedanta, and he had the blessings of the greatest of philosophers, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Now coming back to Gopala Champu, first the definition. What Champu really means. The definition is Gadya Padya Mayam Kavyam Champu Ittavidhiyate. So, some of the literature is written in poetic form. Some is written in prose form. So, when you mix these two forms, poetry and prose together, that is called Champu. That's one definition. So, Bhagavad Gita, for example, is written in poetic form. So, we can sing Bhagavad Gita verses. Just like we sing many, many verses of Bhagavad Gita during Gita Jayanti. All the 700 verses are sung. Because they were sung by Krishna himself. This Krishna's song. Bhagavad Gita means the song of the Divine Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gita. Song. Then some literature is written in prose form. So Champu is written in both. The sense is poetic, but it's written in prose and poetry. Second definition is more elaborate. We say chamatkriti punati, that's Champu. Champu is kind of literature which will completely astonished the listener and the speaker together. So that is the kind of literature Champu is. It will astonish. So that's the definition. This Champu is the narration which starts in Golok Vrindavan. And I'm just going to quote one of the pastimes, which has been described in Champu in various chapters. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has already given the overview. I won't go into the overview. I will just narrate one of the pastimes. When we were reading the list, we heard this name, Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta. Who are they? And why were they mentioned? So Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, these were two court singers in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj in Goloka Vrindavan. Who were they? Why were they? They were there. So one day, Nanda Maharaj saw that his renowned court singer, Ratnachur, he brought two young boys with him, very brilliantly looking young boys. So he asked, who are these two boys? So he said, their names are Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta. Both are brothers. And what is their qualification? So he said, their qualification is that they have sarvagyata tadvita kavita cha. That they know everything. That is their qualification. Not only know everything, they also can narrate everything and sing very nicely. So Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, literary meaning is that they have very smooth and beautiful voice. Madhukanta. Madhu means very beautiful, sweet voice. So he said they know everything and they can also sing everything in poetic way. That's Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta. So Nanda Maharaj became very interested. He said, oh, this is nice. Can they sing for us? So then Ratnachur said, yes, they will sing. I'll bring them tomorrow. So next day he brings them. And then they ask, that was King of Vraj, please tell us what you want to hear from us. So he said, yes, just narrate Krishna's pastimes. I just want to hear about my son. She said, yes, we will start your son's pastime from his birth. So they narrate Krishna's pastime. Now going back to the history of who these two personalities were. In Damodar Mas, we sing that verse. Kuberatmajo Baddhamurte Vadvat Tvaya Mochito Bhakti Bhajo Kritocha Tatha Prema Bhakti Svakame Prayacha Namoksha Grihomasti Damodareha. The two sons of Kuber, Nalkubar and Manigriv, they were given pure devotional service when they were standing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna uprooted those trees, Yamalarjun trees. When these two sons appeared in their divine form, they were not only delivered by the Lord, but they were also given pure devotional service. So having received Krishna's audience and pure devotional service, these two sons of Kubera then become Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta in Goloka. So this is amazing way of Krishna's pastimes. Now look at where to where. They were just enjoying their life in Mandakini, in Ganga, with the heavenly damsels, and wasting their lives. Narada Muni cursed them, and they accepted that curse, and then they received Krishna's mercy. And having received Krishna's mercy, then they become the court singers of Nanda Maharaj, narrating Krishna's pastimes. So this is amazing. That's why this Champu has so many amazing pastimes. Because it amazes The speaker and the listener both. It's just completely amazing. The way it is written is amazing. The pastime it narrates is amazing. And it also brings amazing results when we hear those pastimes. So Snigdhakant and Madhukant then started narrating how Krishna was born. In our sampradaya, unlike other Vaishnava sampradaya, we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the origin of three Vishnus, Karunadak Sai Vishnu, Garuvadak Sai Vishnu, and Chirudak Sai Vishnu. In fact, Lord Nityananda is the origin of these Vishnu forms. Karunadak Sai, Garuvadak Sai, Japayavdeshai, Seshasya Shans Kalasa Nitya, Nandakarama Shanam Mamastu. So these three Vishnus are simply a portions of the portions of Nityananda Prabhu or Balram. So in our sampradaya we accept this. Isvara Paramah Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaran Karanam. So Mahaprabhu says, Mahaprabhu discovered Brahma Sahita and Lord Brahma says Sarvakaran Karanam. So he is the cause of all causes. There are other descriptions in the scripture which say, my dear Lord, anyone who comes in front of you has been created by you and is your servant. So we can apply this logic that anyone who comes in front of Krishna is created by Krishna and is Krishna's servant. So some people may not agree. They say, what? How can you say this? Because Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, okay, Lord Brahma we understand, but Lord Shiva, he is Mahadev. How can you say about Mahadev like this? But Mahadev himself is saying this. In many, many Rudra Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is glorifying Krishna himself. So, Shiva Virinchinitam, this is what the scriptures say. Shiva Virinchinitam, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipped as their Supreme Master by Shiva, Mahadeva, and Virinchi, Brahma. So these two personalities also worship Krishna. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this pastime which Jiva Goswami narrates through Snigdhakant and Madhukant establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are singing this Krishna's birth, and I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to summarize what they are singing. So Snigdhakant and Madhukant, they take in turn. Nand Maharaj said to them that you sing one day and your brother will sing another day. Like that, you take turns. Because both of them are equally qualified. So Snigdhakant started by narrating how Nand Maharaj's forefather, Ajamir, and then Parjanya, Ajmir married two wives. One of them was Vaishya. Not from Vaishya family. Okay, there's a difference. So, she was from cowherd family. And this is how, when these five brothers were born, Nand, Upnand, Abhinand, they took to the profession, which was their God-given kind of profession. So they were from Vaishya community, herding cows. So Krishi Goraksha Vanajyam Vaishya Karmi Sabhavajam. Krishi, agriculture. Goraksha, herding the cows, protecting cows. And Vanajyam, the business. So business was Vaishya community. Nowadays business has taken over. So modern civilization is actually on that level. Business has taken over everything. There are so many big, big business schools, business education. And business has taken over in Kali Yuga. So, Vaishyakarma Sabhavajam. Then they describe that one day Nanda Maharaj came home from his assembly hall and he found his chaste wife, Mother Yashoda, hanging her head and then crying. She was sobbing. So Nanda Maharaj knew that he was middle-aged. They both were middle-aged, getting older. And how people used to find out they were middle-aged or getting older? If the hair just above their ears started getting grey. Once Maharaj Dashrath, King Dashrath, he was dressing himself, and then he noticed that one of his hair has become grey. One. So he became so concerned. Just one hair. Here in Kali Yuga, even the teenagers are having grey hairs. And nobody bothers. But he saw this one hair has become grey. This is alarming. So he said, what do I do now? I got this one hair become grey and I got no son. No. So I got this one hair which is grey and I've got no heir. So hair has become grey but there's no heir to the throne. And this completely made him sad. So he became sad. And this is how he started asking Vasishtha Muni, how do I beget son? How do I get son? Then they found out. Okay, we won't go into Ramayana. So here Nanda Maharaj knew that he already has grey hair. And his queen, Maharani Yashoda, is crying, sobbing piteously. So then he said, what is making you so sad? Why are you crying like this? She cried more. When Nanda Maharaj asked her, she cried more. And Nanda Maharaj, soft-hearted, he could not bear this. She said, tell me, what is making you so sad? She said that, I've got no son. And I'm getting older. You're also getting older. And I feel completely worthless. Got no child. No son. So Nanda Maharaj said, okay, don't worry. I'll do something. So then he called his brahmanas. All the brahmanas gathered. They said, actually, better than us, that you ask a brahmani. She's very powerful. Her name is Purnamasi, and she has come from Ujjain, from Mahakal's Nagari, city of Mahakal. So, just like Lord Shiva is so merciful, she's coming from city of Lord Shiva, so you ask her. So then Purnamasi was called and Nanda Maharaj worshipped her and said, Devi, I have fasted. Oh, no. Okay, that comes later. He said that I have seen my queen crying today. Yashoda is crying because she has no child. So please bless us that we can have a child. She said, yes. Actually, I came to your town. I came to Vrindavan just to bless you. So Nanda Maharaj became very happy. Oh, this is good. But she said, but you'll have to do something, some austerity. Nanda Maharaj said, yes, tell me anything I will do. He said, not only you and your queen, Yashoda, Nandan Yashoda, you have to do Ekadashi Vrat. She said, Dwadashi Vrat for 1 year. And I bless you that the end of this 1 year, Dwadashi Vrat, if you complete it nicely, then you will have a son who is as good as Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's my blessings. And she is very powerful Brahmani. So Nanda Maharaj received this and he took this happy news to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda became very jubilant. She said, yes, we will do Ekadashi. So they fasted. It's known as Dwadashi Vrat because we break on Dwadashi, Ekadashi Vrat. For 1 year they fasted from Ekadashi. And after 1 year, she had a dream. In that dream, she saw that a blue, beautiful child was flying in the sky. So she was amazed to see him. And then that boy came and entered Mother Yashoda's heart. And from her heart, he transferred himself to her womb. And at that time, she woke up and it was the morning. So morning dreams are considered to be true. One day I had a dream, my daughter was crying, and it was the morning. So immediately I rang her. I rang home. I said, is she all right? Her mother says she is fine. So sometimes it may not be, but normally, spiritual dreams, you see how this bewilders people. You think, oh, morning dreams are bad. So you see somebody crying, yeah, you become anxious. So Madheshwada saw this dream. She woke Nanda Maharaj. She said, I saw this dream. Nanda Maharaj said, this is very auspicious dream. Don't tell anybody. Because when you tell your dream to someone, the influence goes. He said, don't tell anybody. Let this happen. And I have full faith in the words of this Brahmani Purnamasi. And this way I think Lord Shiva is blessing us. And Nanda Maharaj and Madheshwada, they worship Vishnu at home. They were worshipping Lord Vishnu. So, eventually, after this 1 year Ekadashi birth, Madheshwada became pregnant. And then Krishna was born as the son of Madheshwada. Now, the question is, that we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna was born to Mother Devaki. Here, this great literature, Gopala Champu, is telling us that Krishna was born to Mother Yashoda. So how do we reconcile these two? So our Acharya has explained that Krishna was born to Mother Yashoda, Vrindavan Krishna, because he can never be anybody's son but Mother Yashoda. He is Mother Yashoda's son. So when Mother Yashoda thinks that Krishna is my son, this is absolutely true, because he is her son. Mother Yashoda is the ultimate limit to Vatsalya Prem, or the maternal affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is the ultimate limit. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj is the ultimate limit of paternal affection for Krishna. Nothing exists beyond them. Ultimate limit. So, when Vasudeva Krishna was born in Mathura, he comes to Vrindavan, he only sees the female child. So Mother Yashoda on that day gave birth to two children. One was male, Krishna, and one was female, Yogamaya, who was born as his sister. So when Vasudeva went to Vrindavan, he could not see the male child. He could only see Yogamaya, the female child. So he took Yogamaya. Now Vasudeva Krishna, who was brought to Vrindavan by Krishna, by Vasudeva, he merged into Vrindavan of Brajendranandan Krishna. So Vasudeva could not see. He only saw his son, and his son, Vasudeva Krishna, merged into Vrindavan Krishna. So this Vrindavan Krishna performs all the sweet pastimes, like eating mud, rasa leela, many, many pastimes, sweet pastimes. Then Vasudeva Krishna, he kills all the demons. So, within one, there are these two Krishnas, Vasudeva Krishna and Vrindavan Krishna. So he does two different functions from the same personality. So this is how it has been reconciled, that Vasudeva Krishna merges into Vrindavan Krishna, Brajendranandan Krishna, and performs all the sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. And this is now 5 to 9. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments?